Well, I thank the Lord for the opportunity to be here this evening. I won't take the time to write the thought that the Lord has given me on the board, but if I had to title this thought, it would be a two-part thought. It would be, we have not apprehended, but to still press on. But before we get into that thought too much, I just want to share with you something that has been on my heart this week, something that has been so real to me. And I wanted to hear the words to that song this evening. Had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary, had it not been for an old rugged tree, had it not been for a man called Jesus. I think we had talked about it a little bit this morning. I know we talked a little bit about it this past Wednesday night. But the thought of where we would be tonight, had it not been for that story, had it not been for the grace of God and the goodness of God and the love of God, where would we be tonight? I don't think there is a story that is so precious and so sweet that can be told or that can be heard that is as sweet as that story of Calvary, a tree, a cross, and Jesus. And what He did out of love, and how He was willing to come down here and live among sin, and to take the sin of this world upon His shoulders and to bear my sin and your sin. Oh, what a precious, precious story. I want to somehow this evening to be able to get a hold of what that really means. I think that is one of those things that we try so hard, and maybe we spend the majority or most of our lives trying to get a hold of what that means. And we meditate on it, and we think about it, and we're taught it, and we hear it, and we think, and the Lord, He teaches, He reveals things to us, and we think about that story, and then about when we think we understand it all, we don't understand it. I don't think we will ever really be able to understand the depths of what that story means and what it meant for Him to take on the sin of this world. It reminds me of a verse to another song. If you don't mind, try to sing it with me. Number 19, Brother Uncle Bobby, in the book, in the little children's book. That last verse, the world was in darkness and sin and shame. Lord Jesus came down from His throne on high, ready to live and willing to die for all of the pain and suffering He bore. I'll love Him and is there a more precious story tonight? Is there something more precious that we could thank the Lord for tonight? Dear ones, I hope that testimony will always ring true to our hearts. That we can always raise our hands and say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for coming down and being willing to go to Calvary and die on that tree for a sinner like me. I think of the words of that first verse that said, the world was in darkness and sin and shame. And I was thinking this evening as I was meditating on this thought, and I was putting the word I in that place. I was in darkness and sin and shame. I was lost and then Jesus came. He carried my sins to Calvary's tree. I hope we can get a hold of that this evening. And I hope it means something to you tonight. Of what Jesus did for us. That's the reason we're able to be here tonight. That's the reason we're able to get these songs and that song and sing these songs about Jesus. Because if that story would have never happened, if that story would have never been told, where would we be tonight? Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord for Jesus, for His love, for His mercy, for His goodness, and for all He does for us. I was thinking a little bit about Paul, or if you want to think about it, in the early part of his life, Saul, just reflecting upon his life a little bit, and won't go into a lot of detail, but just thinking about the earliest recordings that we have of him and who he was, a Pharisee. I think there's a scripture that says that he was an educated man. And again, I'm just thinking of how big and how wonderful and how loving that God is and what He can do and what He will do for a person that is so lost and that is so far gone. And thinking about Paul and the early writings we have about him, and I think one scripture said that he brought havoc upon the church. The terrible things that he did, things that we don't like to talk about and think about, and the persecutions and all those types of things. Been thinking about how God in His mercy, and sometimes I wonder how in our human way of thinking could you go and could you call after a man that was so, in our eyes, so far gone. But you know, God, through His love and His mercy, saw something in Paul. He saw something in Paul that he wanted to work with, and that he could cause to grow. And dear ones, it's not different for you and I. The Lord can look down in us no matter where we are at in our lives. And through His love and His mercy and His goodness, can bring us out of anything, any place that we find in our lives. And He will carry those sins. He will take those upon Himself if we are willing and carry those. He carried those sins to that tree. But thinking about how He blessed in Paul's life once the conversion on the road to Damascus, and just thinking about where God led Paul. And all that, through the help of the Lord, that Paul was able to accomplish. And the thing that sticks out most in my mind is his mission work, his missionary journey. And the churches that he was able to start, the dozen or maybe a few more than that, of the churches that he was able to start, the miracles he performed, there's scripture that reference that God worked miracles by the hand of Paul. I don't say all that to give Paul all the credit. But he was such a benefit to even our society today. He arguably is maybe one of the most influential men that have ever lived. And it's easy to see, for me to look and see how the Lord worked in Paul's life and think, you know what? At this point in Paul's life and his ministry and the churches and the way the Lord dealt with him, it looks like Paul, he is. It looks like he's in a good spot, and Paul really is in a good spot. He's got the Lord on his side. The Lord is in Paul's corner. There's not a better place to be in. And I look at the life of Paul, and it's kind of easy for me to kind of take Paul and kind of put him up on a pedestal. That's kind of how I see him in my mind. He's one of those New Testament greats. Through the Lord's help, he was able to accomplish quite a few things. The Lord was was good to Paul. Showed him so much mercy after all the things that he had done. But Scripture tells us, or we can kind of take from Scripture, that maybe Paul kind of reflected back over his life as maybe we reflect upon his life. And I'd like to look at that Scripture in Philippians 3:13, and that's kind of where this thought comes from tonight. And I can't help but wonder, if just give me a little liberty here, that maybe Paul had some things going through his mind. And that maybe he was thinking about all those things, and maybe he was thinking about where he had come from and what the Lord had brought him out of, and how the Lord met him on that road to Damascus, and how the Lord just kind of handpicked him out, and how he just blessed Paul, and how the Lord was so good to him. But look at Philippians 3, verse 13. And I'm not sure what Paul was thinking right before he said this, but I can't help but wonder if he was just kind of reflecting on some of those things. He said, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended." And I want to think about that for a little bit. What did Paul mean when he said, "I count not myself to have apprehended"? Paul's saying, I don't have it. I haven't got it yet. I've been through a lot of places in my life. The Lord has blessed me richly. He's given me many things. He has extended mercy. He has extended His love. He has given me gifts. He has extended His grace to me. All these things that He has done for me, and it's been a wonderful experience. But I have not apprehended. I don't have it yet. I started off my thought this evening with how wonderful and how precious of a story it is, and how wonderful it is when we can come to a place and we can kneel before God and we can cast our burdens, and He can take our sins and carry them to the tree, and not to take anything away from how precious that is. That is so precious. I can't think of anything more precious than that type of experience and what God wants to do for us. But Paul had the same type of experience. The Lord worked so mightily on Paul's behalf and in his life. But Paul is saying here, he said, up until this point in my life, everything that has happened up until now, up until this Scripture, I have not apprehended. He goes on to say, "But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind." Now, I used to kind of have to stop and scratch my head over this one a little bit. And I don't think Paul is saying here that I want to forget everything I've been through. I don't think that's what Paul is saying. Most of the commentaries would lead us to believe that Paul is reflecting upon his life, and that any place that Paul may have come through, anything that he was able to do, any kind of works that he was able to do, that at that time in his life, that was not his focal point. That was not his end goal in his life at that time. "Lord, whatever situation I am, Lord, whatever help you're giving me, whatever I'm able to do, thank you, Lord. Thank you for that experience. Thank you for your help. But I have not apprehended." And I don't want to begin to think that those works were of my own. Lord, that was not my end goal, but Lord, there's something else. There is something else to obtain to. There is a reason to keep looking forward. I can look back. I can lean on those experiences. Those things are precious to me, and I will cherish those things. But Lord, that was just part of the journey. That was just part of the experience. And I want us to be encouraged by this tonight. The Lord does so many wonderful things and precious things for us in our lives. And as wonderful and as precious as they are, we need to enjoy and thank the Lord for those things, for those times in our lives. But let us not lose our focus that we have not apprehended. Those things are not what we are really obtaining and striving for. We are not through. Paul goes on to say in that verse, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I have not apprehended. I have not made it. I have not attained. I don't have it. You know, sometimes in life, I have to look at this and think, for Paul to say this, that was a very humble place to take. Because God had blessed him so richly. Paul had been through so many things. But for him to look at his life and say, I haven't, he's speaking to the brethren there, I haven't made it. I still have something to reach for. You know, sometimes I wonder, or I know, I'll speak for myself. I know I have been in the place of my life that, you know, the devil would like to come along and tell me, or have me to have the mindset that I've done enough. Sometimes I can begin to come to the place where I know what the Lord has done for me up to this point in my life. And if we are not careful, the devil can come to us and say, you know what? That's sufficient for now. That's sufficient. Sit back. Relax a little bit. You don't have to try quite so hard. It's okay. Let your guard down a little bit. But dear ones, we have not apprehended. We haven't got there yet. If there is any a time in your life that the devil has come along and said, look, that experience was enough. The Lord blessed you. Dear ones, we still have to press on. There's still something that we have to reach for. We're not through. Those things were only part of the journey and only part of the experience. Paul said, reaching forth unto those things which are before. Paul knew that there was something bigger and greater and more precious than anything he had experienced up to that point in his life. As wonderful as those experiences were, he knew there was something awaiting him that would outdo, that would top that, however, whatever word you want to use to describe that. He knew that there was something worth reaching for. And in the next verse he says, I press toward the mark for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So now not only is Paul reaching, he's pressing. He's pressing. You know, I can stand here and I can try to reach out and grab these flowers right here. But my arm is only so long and my fingers are only so long and I'm only going to be able to get so close just by standing right here. But if I do a little something more, maybe if I'm reaching up and trying to get something, maybe I can lean over, maybe I can press, maybe I can tiptoe, maybe I can jump, maybe I can do a little bit more than what I'm doing. Lord, help us to have something so real in our hearts and so set before us and so in the forefront of our minds that we are wanting to not just reach, but dear Lord, that we want to put forth some special effort and that we are wanting to press. That we are wanting to press for something more, something else that the Lord has in store for us. Lord, thank you. Thank you so much for those things. Thank you for those experiences. You know, when I come to those experiences in life, and the Lord is blessing me, and He's pouring those blessings out on me, and I'm enjoying that, and I'm just, that's part of my experience. And that's me. That's pressing. But that's not it. We have not apprehended. I was thinking about an athlete, and I don't really like to give these kind of examples, but I was thinking about an athlete, and you think about someone that has grown up playing the sports and just giving it everything he had with a dream one day to make it big, for lack of better words. And you think about how they give, it's their passion. They give their life. They dedicate their life to that thing. With the hope of one day that they can obtain something big to get on the team, the big team. The big team that everybody knows, to obtain that prize. And I think how they spend their life, and maybe they're caught up to be in that place. And they work with their coach all their life, and they play in those games, and they grind it out, and they have all those experiences. And coach is there to help and to give some constructive criticism along the way and to push in the right direction. And then they finally come to that big game. And he's got one more push to make. You know, he can look back on all those experiences. He can look back on all that coaching he had, and all those games he played, and the times that he was the blood, sweat, and the tears, and grinding it out. And he can pull from those experiences. But those experiences aren't helping him, that was not the prize. He's at a place in his life where he's reaching for something more. He can lean on those things. He can learn from those things. But here he is in this moment. That at the time was a blessing. But here he is needing something more. Needing to push again. Needing to reach again. Needing to press a little bit harder. Lord, help us to be able to learn, to gather from those experiences. But dear ones, we still have some pressing to do. And that's my little burden tonight, is, are we still pressing? I feel like the mindset that Satan would like us to get in or to be in is to come to a place in life knowing that we've had some great experiences and some wonderful blessings, and grace has been extended to us and love has been extended to us. But he would like us to come to the place in life where we just get kind of lax. And we kind of maybe just kind of want to float along. And over time, our guard gets let down. Maybe we're not aware. We get comfortable. We get comfortable of where we're at. Lord, help us not to get comfortable where we're at. We heard this morning about being lukewarm. Lord, help us not just to become in this kind of middle state of life where I don't really feel it in my heart to press anymore. I thank the Lord for what he has done. I thank the Lord for the place that I'm in now, but I just don't feel it to keep pressing. And I think that's a very dangerous spot that the devil would like to would like to see us in. I think He would like us to, if you can imagine it this way, we get in our little car, we're driving down the road of life, that He would like us just to kind of sit back, relax, and put it on cruise control. We don't have to really do the work of pushing the gas pedal and really being aware. You know, there is a brand of a vehicle that you can get in right now. They're up and down the road every day. And you can get in this vehicle and you can program your location of where you want to go on a GPS system. And you can lean back and you can let go of the steering wheel for hundreds of miles. And you can get to your destination and never touch the steering wheel. I mean, they're out there. Maybe not in these rural areas, but they're out there in big towns. And I thought, in fact, I even remember watching an ad for one of that brand of a vehicle. And the ad portrayed it this way. The guy gets in his car, he programs his location, he leans back, the car takes off, and he even leans back and closed his eyes for a little bit. And I thought, how dangerous that is. To let my guard down so much, to not have that mentality that I need to really stay awake, stay focused, stay aware of what I'm doing, and actually put some effort into what I'm doing. And I believe that's where the devil would like us to be tonight. As mentioned this morning, I think of camp meeting season. How wonderful is camp meeting season? How wonderful is Monarch? I wasn't able to attend this year, but the reports that came back, watching the live services and the reports of the altars that were flooded at this year's Monarch. It doesn't get any better than that. It does get better than that. That's what the message is. It does get better. We have not apprehended. That is precious though. That is precious. But did you know the Lord, it was mentioned this morning, someone mentioned, we leave Monarch and we have to come back home and we have to do life. We have to do life. You know what? It's easy while we're at Monarch. We're around our friends, we're around the saints, and we're going to service 2 to 3 times a day. And we're singing songs and we're hearing God speak directly to us from the pulpit and His anointing. And what a wonderful experience it is. But I come home and I still have to press. I still have to press. It was wonderful. I enjoyed it and I hope we can do it again next year. But as wonderful as it was, we still have to come home. And we still have to face life. And we still have to do life. And we're still going to get tired. And the devil's still going to throw things in our path. Can you imagine driving one of these cars down the road? I lean my head back and I go to sleep. And as far as I know, the interstate is wide open. It's clear as can be. Nothing in between us. But out of nowhere, the devil throws something in the middle of the road. And just because I wasn't paying attention, just because I wasn't being aware of my surroundings, and I wasn't putting forth the effort, something tragic, something major can happen. Lord, help us to reach for those things which are before, and then to press toward the mark, press toward that mark. Paul said something in 2 Timothy 4 and 7. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. You know, I think when Paul said, I have not apprehended, I think that's what he was saying. I think Paul was saying there, you know what, I'm fighting, but I haven't won the battle yet. I haven't finished my course yet. I haven't apprehended. I'm in some battles. I'm in some fights. Yes, there is some victories along the way. There are some victories along the way. The Lord can bring us through. The Lord can bring us through places, and we can find ourselves on top of the mountains. And thank God for the tops of the mountains. But we're not always on top of the mountains. It would be nice if we were. But we're not always on top of the mountains. We go through places in life that we're still going to have to press. And we're pressing, as Paul said, toward that mark. So 2 Timothy 4 and 7, Paul said, now look at what Paul's saying. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Verse 8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. You know, that's what Paul is reaching for. That's what Paul is pushing for. That crown of righteousness, that higher calling, that place that God wants to call you to out of this life, out of the troubles of this life, out of those battles that you find yourself in. That's the place that He wants to bring us out of. Dear one, there is a crown of life for each and every one of us. You know why there's a crown of life for each and every one of us? Because of what we talked about at the beginning of this salt. For the plan that the Lord had and that come to fruition, and for Jesus coming to this earth and all those things. Because of that, because He came to this earth, and because He went back to His Father, and He's coming again to call me and to call you. That's what we're pushing. That's the ultimate goal. Lord, thank You for these altar experiences. Thank You for the time that I can kneel down beside my bed in my home and have that one-on-one. Thank You for Jesus, that I'm able to have that one-on-one. That He is the reason we can get to the Father. Thank You, Lord, for all of those things. But I'm pushing for something even better. Not to discredit any of that, but there's something better out there. That, Lord, help us to be able to maintain such a desire in our hearts as Paul had. He looked back on his life and said, I have not obtained yet. Thank the Lord for what He's brought me through, but I have not obtained. There is something more valuable, more precious to me that I am reaching for and that I am pressing for. Thank the Lord. That is my burden tonight. I hope we can get it tonight. I hope the story of Jesus and Him coming to this earth, I hope it means something to you. And I believe it does. But Lord, help us as we go through this life. Lord, help us as we go through tough places in our lives. Man, we are up against a mean old devil. A really cruel, mean old devil. And there are circumstances and things in this life and places that we will go through. Lord, help us to have that vision. Lord, help us to keep the Lord and what He can do for us at those times in our life. Help us to keep that at the forefront of our mind and in our hearts. But if we are not careful, we can get distracted and blinded by those times in our life, and we can fall into places of discouragement and Lord help us that we will have the mindset that there is something greater, there is something bigger, there is something more precious than anything I've been through, anything this world has to offer. There is something worth reaching, worth pushing for. Y'all pray for me.